This is in setting one. It's also in setting three, and this is where we commonly do our worship from. And we'll read together. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This is a great moment in Scripture. This is a great song. It has been given to us and has been recognized as containing such a valuable message that it not only is part of our just Christmas readings, but part of the church's life throughout the year. Simeon gave us an amazing proclamation of who Christ is and how when we receive him, we receive the fullness of God's promises to life and salvation. However, this amazing song comes from a very small story in the life of Christ. If you noticed at the end of our reading, all of a sudden, Christ goes from a baby who's being purified because he was just born to a grown man, an adult full of wisdom. It's a very quick sort of footnote in the life of Christ. Yet in this small story, God packs in a huge proclamation. And he does this through somebody else, kind of small, somebody we don't really hear from again. He does this through a man named Simeon. Simeon, as a central figure in the biblical text, doesn't escape the lines of this chapter in Luke. He doesn't appear by name or by event in Christ's ministry or life. In a typical story, Simeon is a side character and a brief one at that. We know almost nothing about him except that he is described as righteous and devout. A bad preacher might stop and make these two words, righteous and devout, the aim of the whole sermon. Stop and ask you if you are like Simeon. Are you righteous and devout? Are you patient in waiting for the Lord? But seeing who Simeon was as righteous and devout is not the lesson or the moral of the story here. No, the important description of Simeon comes just one sentence later, and that is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is substantial for two reasons. First, the Holy Spirit being upon him means that something has been revealed to Simeon. That is, God has given Simeon a promise. And second, God is going to speak through Simeon to deliver that word of promise to more people, to God's people, and to the whole world. That is, God will use this little side character, whom we know next to nothing about, to preach to the whole world. As far as promises go, the one Simeon was given was very simple. You will not die until you see the Lord Christ. Simeon is told that the presence of God's Savior, the anointed King of Israel, will be his to see, his to behold, maybe even his to receive. The modifying phrase here, you will not die until, has been the object of much speculation throughout the time of the church. Sometimes this is viewed as the key to understanding the Song of Simeon, or at least who Simeon was. In the Orthodox tradition, for instance, they suppose that Simeon was one of the translators of the Septuagint, making him in excess of 300 years old at the time of Christ. Some take this radical age, which has been handed down to us through the church, and also make it the central point of the story, showing that 300 years plus life would show Simeon exceedingly patient, and as an example for our own patience for God to return. Yet I see something a little bit different. I think it's fine and good to carry on with the tradition of the church that Simeon is very old, so long as it doesn't become the object of our story, so that when Simeon sings something like, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, it comes out in our ears and in our minds crassly as, finally, you can let me die, God. You can let me die because I've lived so long, So old, I've seen too much, I'm ready to go. These traditions are fine, but they are not the message of this text. No, Simeon's "let your servant depart in peace" is not a sigh of relief from somebody who wants to die because he's so old, but instead it's a confession of somebody who has received God's Savior and will now live forever. That's because this whole story is about small promises, like gazing upon the Savior, bringing forth big universal proclamation, that is, the greater promise of salvation. This means that depart in peace is not just Simeon's call to final rest, but a good news proclamation that is true for you. In this child is the fullness of God. Everything necessary for life is here. In fact, it is so complete that once you have it, you'll be prepared to die. Prepared to die? How does a baby help you prepare to die? I have four of them, and I can tell you that with each one, I am less and less prepared to die. I think the most prepared to die I was in my entire life was not as I've gotten older, but when I was younger. I can distinctly remember at 17 not wanting to die, but feeling like I was very content with the fact that I could die and I would be saved. But as my life has gone on and I've gotten older and more complicated, as first you get married, then you're not very prepared to die. You don't want to leave a spouse. Then your first child's born. You really don't want to die then. More and more, the longer we live our lives, the less prepared to die I think we really become. In my experience, babies have meant that I need to actually spend lots of time preparing to die. I need to get a life insurance policy. That's been a recent pain in the butt. I need to write a last will and testament. I need to make sure that my wife knows where the title to the car is and the password to the bank account. And it's not just money or worldly goods either. What about the impact and influence that each one of our lives has on the world? What would my children become without a father? What would my work do without its podcast network director? What would this church be without its president? Start thinking about death for too long, and you might realize how important you are, or at least how important you think you are. Once you've looked inward enough, you'll see that you aren't ready for death, and that you desperately want your life. This comes up right against what Christ warns later in his ministry. We can read from John 12:25. Christ proclaims here, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So this baby, the Lord Christ, does something incredible. He takes your sinful life from you and gives you new life. He takes the most intimate object of our fear and sinful clinging and makes it his own. In fact, Christmas is not just that God came as a baby to be beheld and seen by people like Simeon and the Israelites at the time, but that he came into the flesh to take your flesh. You will be ready to die because this Christ came and died for you. In beholding and receiving Christ, that is, through your baptism, through your life with Christ, the promise is yours. You will not die because Christ has died for you. You will depart in peace because there is no more sinful flesh left to cling to. The only thing you'll be holding on to, like Simeon, is the little baby Christ. The promise of peace at the last was not just for Simeon, but to all who heard Simeon at the temple and to all who hear this word now. The little baby Jesus Christ is the salvation of the world. This is not a private event. The salvation of the world does not mean a few. It does not mean the remnant nation. No, the salvation is prepared before all people. God's saving act is public. The word of salvation will go out not only to those who already believe, but those who are described like Simeon himself, who are already righteous and devout. No, the word will go out to the Gentile too, to those who do not believe yet, to those who have not yet clung or heard the promises of God, but will. The promise that we take out to the world now, the Song of Simeon, on our lips, this Christmas is not a special lament because of how old Simeon was or because of how righteous he had lived. It was not because he had endured to the point where things were too hard, the world was so bad, that he needed or wanted to die. What makes Simeon's proclamation noteworthy is that he was given the Holy Spirit. By this Spirit, God made Simeon a preacher to all who were present at the temple during the blessing of purification, but also now God has ordained his preaching in our own midst, preserving the sermon song of Simeon in the scripture and in our worship. Like Simeon, we have received God's Holy Spirit, this time through water and the word of baptism. By this power of God, our voices join in this proclamation. A few short words come off our tongues, like depart in peace, and I have seen your salvation. These words of life from the Spirit conquer our sin, our fear of death, our longing that we have not done enough to fix or influence this world, and even the importance of our own life. Here, all this sin comes to an end, and our inward-facing, fearful life actually becomes a hope to all who hear it. The promise of God for Simeon and for us is attached to a God made flesh who took our flesh. The salvation of God is not just a theoretical hope, but is given to us in the presence of the person, Jesus Christ, a person that came not just to be adored, person that did not come just for our praise, but came to die and rise. A person who is present not just so that we can see him from afar, but so that you can receive him in his body and blood shed for you. That through him we lose our life and gain his. In Christ we have the freedom and the hope to depart in peace and be raised to new life with him. Amen.